everyone, and welcome to the Let's Get Personal podcast, where we have conversations about everything. From common places we all face when dealing with our lives to what's really going on in the world right now, this is a podcast where we take a deeper look into the very things we face each and every day. My name is Jordan Antle, the host of this podcast, and today I'd like to present to you with a little bit of a different episode, as today I actually am accompanied by a guest of mine who is here on the show. And that guest that I happen to have also happens to be my brother. Say hello to Joshua Antle.
Hey guys, how's it going on? I guess Jordan self-introduced me. My name's Josh. I'm the sibling to the host, and hopefully we can have some interesting conversations here today.
So me and my brother here, we get on a lot of conversations about a lot of things going on in the world today.
Very much so.
And Josh happens to have a lot of interesting viewpoints on certain things, which is why I wanted to take him onto the show today, because I really think it'd be a great chance to give Josh an opportunity to voice his opinions, his views on certain things, because take it from me as somebody who, you know, gets really deep into conversations, gets very deep into topics, as I'm sure you know if you've been watching my podcasts. This is definitely a conversation worth having with Josh here on the podcast today. So hopefully you can welcome him with open arms. But regardless, I just want to jump right into it. So Josh, I wanted to talk to you today about the benefits and dangers of self-education. Now, being a millennial, which, you know, I say in quotations because it almost feels like being a millennial is just coined as such a negative stereotype now. But being young in a world now where technology has advanced so much, we're all surrounded by our phones and the internet, and just, I guess, the fact that we can all search up questions that we have online. How do you want to start off this conversation with the benefits and dangers of self-education?
So, like, honestly, when it comes down to self-education, it's hard to paint self-education in a negative light. It more so comes down to the root of improper self-education. So, like, the number one most important thing for me, for example, if I'm going out to learn something on my own in the interwebs, the first thing for me is to try and verify that the information I'm reading is true. And I mean, that used to be a lot easier than it is to do today, because previously you used to be able to search for example, let's say I see a internet meme and I wanted to see if this picture is even a real picture. Well, today it's hard to actually find the real picture because you're more likely to find continuous memes of the same picture versus, you know, 10, 15 years ago when you look up a picture and you actually get 9 out of 10 times, you're getting like a majority of the raw source for where it came from, if you know what I mean.
So essentially, the point you're really trying to come across here is that the reliability of resources online has shifted to the point where it's like you really just don't know if what you're looking for is true or not.
The biggest issue is definitely just trying to find true information.
Yeah, I mean, like, and I think that's the thing that, I think that's a good point to highlight here with self-education, because I think self-education, whether we like it or not, is something a lot of us do every single day. Whether we're looking up, and this is usually not recommended, but whether we're looking up a certain potential illness or some sort of thing that we might think we have, such as, like, you know, symptoms of a flu.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's the perfect example of the kind of self-education that can go sour very easy. I mean, for example, I can definitely admit to the fact that I've been trying to self-diagnose every little thing that goes wrong, whether if it's a cut or a bruise
and it
or
always,
whatever.
And it always leads to you having cancer somehow. I think that...
Exactly, and or to some other debilitating disorder that is some way life altering.
Yeah, like you'll have like a spot on your arm, and you'll be like, you know, you type in red spot on arm, and it says skin cancer like right away, and you're just like, oh, but in reality, it's just like a blemish or like a little pimple.
Well,
right?
Well, here's the thing, right? The human mind is only designed to do one thing, and it's to kind of predict the future, anticipate the future to survive and to continue survive. So it's just natural tendency for you to drift towards the worst thing first and to work backwards. And I mean, fun fact, if you actually do go and seek medical attention, they do that same method of finding the worst things and slowly working your way backwards to the less dangerous things. So like if you think you've got something wrong with you, like, say you think you got your cancer. Well, the first thing they're going to do is try to eliminate that as one of the causes. So it is a very actually proper way of going about things, which is like when you research things about your own health and you find the worst thing and it's like, oh, God, I'm dying. Well, yeah, okay, yeah, cool. You found the worst case scenario. Now you start working backwards. But the problem is that doctors are designed to approach this problem as a domino, where you slowly remove the dominoes and make it a smaller line of them. Whereas if you're the person researching for yourself and you don't have actual any education in this that's beyond, you know, looking at Wikipedia, you see the worst kind of stuff that could be there and you shit the bed. You think that this is it. You think that, you know, you actually have cancer hypothetically or whatever. And the fact is that 9 times out of 10, you don't, but sometimes you do. And this is the problem with self-diagnosing, is that you're actually going to do nothing but cause yourself stress and anxiety, because most things in the world, yeah, go learn about it, go educate yourself, go, I mean, heck, learn about biology and kind of understand how it all works better. But it's definitely not a good idea to go and dive deep into the worst fears you have, because that's what self-diagnosis is. It's trying to confirm what you think is going on, which is almost always the worst thing you could imagine.
Okay, so taking a step back from self-diagnosing, as I'm sure that we have all been there at one point in our lives, let's kind of take this into another direction with self-education. Because, you know, when it comes to the benefits and dangers, there's just a broad spectrum of things you got to consider. I mean, we already talked about false information, self-diagnosis, not finding reliable resources, and I mean, you're kind of educating yourself at your own expense, because
yeah, for sure.
Because you're taking the initiative to say, hey, I'm just going to do research myself, but you're kind of scouring the internet, which is obviously not a, you know, it's not like a academic catalog of proper information.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, every apple on the tree of the internet isn't a real apple, and there's no doubt about that, right? There's lots of easily consumed misinformation, which can also be very damaging. I mean, some of those false apples are poisonous apples if you want to work with like some analogies here or metaphors. And it's like that is the problem with the internet. You, first of all, you're picking and choosing the apples you take off the tree. Second of all, it's hard to even find out if what you picked was real, because you don't know and you don't understand the things you don't know and don't understand, right?
The other thing too with educating yourself online is also the idea of, well, I mean, it's not even the idea, I mean, it's actually happening. It's just the reality we face with, you know, quote unquote fake news, information that's just being broadcasted to people from different news networks. And and I think it's kind of scary to say that we're in a time now where biased information is a thing as well, as opposed to giving just legitimate facts about a situation.
Well, if we look at, just say, the internet, for example, specifically YouTube, there's this new issue with procedurally or generated content that is oriented towards news. And whether it's true or not, it doesn't matter, because, you know, Smarter Every Day did a video on this, and he found that, for example, there was like hundreds of videos with the same script, but they used a different robot voice and a different B-roll or a different set of footage in different ways. So it's like we have this new era where there is a dump of content designed to just get you to click it, whether it's true or not, because of the fact that the internet is so profitable for whatever party has the resources to take advantage of this. And I mean, going back to how the internet used to be, where say like someone like you could start a YouTube channel in your bedroom, grow it into a million subscribers and be able to make a living off it. Well, that was one person with a very, very limited amount of resources. So now we find ourselves in this state where you have governments with lots of resources coming in and trying to sway our opinions. You have companies that are trying to sway our opinions. You have individuals that have enough money, enough funds to be able to go about these things. And it also doesn't help that we're in this new era where it seems like the internet has shifted towards the consumption of information, towards the consumption of specific media for specific companies to generate a profit for those companies. And I mean, if you just have a flashback to not even like 6 years ago, there was a lot of talk about how the cables were being cut. You know, people weren't getting cable as much. People weren't getting a satellite as much. People were going on the internet and watching movies for free and listening to music for free. And this was having a huge dent in these corporations' pockets. And so what eventually happened was, in a final gasp of breath with their billions and billions of dollars each in terms of resources, they literally took over the internet like a plague. They filled all the cracks that existed on the internet, and in every way, shape, and form, they've come in and corroded the environment that was conducive to true self-learning. So, like, going back to the self-learning thing, it was really easy to learn things back in the day. Mm-hmm. Not that it wasn't hard to learn the wrong things. It was a lot easier to learn things. Like, you type in a question on the old Google, and it would only show you search results that were directly related to the tags that you searched. Whereas now you type in a question, and it doesn't matter how many times you type in the same question differently, you're getting the same results. You're getting the same media companies. They're trying to kind of force feed us down and manipulate our own reasoning. And mm-hmm. it kind of just goes back to the idea that the old internet is just kind of just a faded memory. Maybe it didn't exist in the way that I feel it existed for everybody. Maybe it was just for me and my small circle. But at the same time, I can most certainly see that the information on the internet has been convoluted with BS. I mean, you have things out there like Khan Academy, which are literally designed to help people self-learn everything from K-12 and then into university things. And I highly recommend people check out Khan Academy, because it's literally teaching you very useful things like everyday physics, science, and maths, and all these other things, computer engineering.
And this isn't sponsored, by the way. This is
no, I mean, they're a nonprofit organization on top of this, right? They're not even designed for profit. And so this is one of the very few websites that exists on the internet where it's completely free for you to go educate yourself in terms of logic and reasoning. And on top of that, it's like, it's really hard for you to find Khan Academy unless you have people who know about Khan Academy, or you have found it by stumbling around yourself. Like, when I was younger, I Googled free education resources. I think I was like 15 years old or something, and I found Khan Academy. And then years later, it was also recommended to me by some of my high school teachers as a method to learn more and more. But now what we see is that instead of people using the internet to learn, like through things like Khan Academy, people are going down the easy route of consuming social media, consuming articles shared on social media, and then that builds into people sharing news on social media, whether it's true or not. And the next thing you know, you have an entire population of people using these social medias who think they know anything, but the reality is all they know are the headlines that were put out through these media companies, which is completely different from self-education. In fact, it's the opposite of it, and that is where the danger of self-education comes, right? Fooling yourself into thinking you are self-educated.
Well, I want to jump in now, because I got a few things I wanted to also mention. Because if there's one thing I've noticed increasingly, I mean, let's look at a relevant example right now with the whole idea of anti-vaccinations, you're anti-vaccinators, people who have essentially fallen victim to self-education, which, and also fake media, and just, you know, which is, again, false information, just telling, construing the truth of vaccinations and how they actually save lives. But yet there's just this whole idea wrapped around vaccinations causing other diseases, other illnesses. I mean, do I even need to bring up the whole autism thing? You know, like,
this all ties back into the whole like health thing. You Google your symptoms and you get all these answers. And at the end of the day, the problem with this specifically is that you have people who think they know a lot about a topic, but they know nothing about, say, biology. They don't even have an understanding of biology and how these things come to exist. And then you have people who know nothing speaking counterpoints that aren't even true and building up a fake reality. And then when people poke holes in it, they say, oh, you know, it's the conspiracy stuff. It's big government, or it's these companies or scientists who are paid by all these companies. It's a grand conspiracy. I mean, this falls into two things. One is We're always looking for the flaws in society, and, you know, there's a lot of flaws in society, and don't get me wrong, there's lots of conspiracies out there that turned out to be true, but at the end of the day, you have one conspiracy theory that's true for out of every 100,000, per se. I mean, these are obviously made-up numbers, but on top of that, you also have the issue of people wanting to learn to better themselves and people wanting to make themselves healthier and stuff. And so all these things come down to the same thing. People are trying to improve themselves. They're trying to rail against some evil, right? The whole idea about like conspiracies is that there's something not right and therefore they want to help make it right. And the same thing with like doing all this anti-vaccine. They think it's wrong, so they're trying their best to make it right. And I mean, but this speaks to the fallacy of human of human righteousness, right? We all think that.
Well, it's almost ignorance.
Well, it's pure ignorance, right? It's blind ignorance because they think they know something because of what they've read online, but yet they haven't picked up a textbook to learn biology.
Yeah, it's just you're blindly following people who have microphones, which are essentially social media. I mean, like a great example was, and I can't remember who it was, that who was it, like a famous celebrity or some, she was some sort of woman who was on some sort of on, I don't know if it was Fox or some sort of news outlet, I really can't remember, but she was famous and she literally, I think she started this whole autism vaccination thing, or she was definitely a big part of it. And this was somebody who does not have a background in you know, the medical field. She is just purely a, you know, an entertainer or whatever. And she has a huge following. I mean, this is no different than Kim Kardashian going on like CNN or some sort of big news site saying this happened, this is how it is, and pretty much like having absolutely no proof and more or less just saying, putting her word and her millions of followers against reality. And
so this all ties back in. Sorry, I hate to interrupt you, but this all ties back into the problem of you know, being a person who truly is qualified to talk about these questions. Like, here's a question for you. Would you rather a surgeon operate on your heart who has performed the surgery thousands of times, or would you rather somebody who went on the internet who has no medical degree but also has some experience with butchery and cutting open mammals? So, like, who would you rather operating on you? I mean, for me, my credibility is more so towards the person who has demonstrated that they know what they're talking about versus somebody who thinks they know what they're talking about. And I mean, this goes back to star power. I mean, we look up to people who are famous as some all-knowing, wise people, but the reality is that they're just another job in society at this moment in time that's glorified. I mean, hundreds and hundreds of years ago, you know who the stars of then were? Well, they were the painters, and then hundreds and hundreds of years before that, it was the warriors and et cetera. I mean, throughout history, at different moments of time, different professions were the star power of that time. And I mean, entertainment star power is the one right now. And we look up to these people, and we got a lot of youth who are uneducated in the right ways as well. And they look up to these people, and they think there's credibility in their statements. But the problem with that is that there is absolutely no credibility in the medical field for somebody who has no experience in the medical field. It's one thing to know a lot about something. Like, for example, I'm really educated in biology. I love biology. For a little while, I was doing a biology degree, I thought, before I changed programs. And I got to learn a lot. And I really enjoyed what I learned. And I also continued to learn after I stopped. But by no means do I consider my opinion above that of a doctor. Right? Of course, I'm very skeptical of a doctor, especially if a doctor is dismissive and they only see me for 5 minutes over something I have many concerns about. But I also don't disagree with the idea that if I see two or three doctors and they say the same thing to me, they're probably right. And this goes into the climate change thing, right? You have 99% of scientists agree that climate change is real. It's a human accelerated thing. And yet you have all these people looking at the 1% of scientists who disagree with that. And they're saying, see, there's 10,000 of the 100% of scientists. That 1% probably represents a few thousand scientists. And they're like, oh, wow, credibility, because credibility is in numbers. And it's just human nature to go straight towards tyranny of the majority and agree with the side that you think you're on. So if you see 1% of people agree that climate change isn't real, and then you see that there's 1% of those people was like 10,000, you're like, oh, wow, I have this massive group of people who know what they're talking about, and they're right. But at the end of the day, you have millions of scientists who say it's real and thousands who say it's not. So who do you believe?
So the problem is that we're living in an information war, and that the and we're also living in a time where social media and followings and fame are more favored over actual academic, educated, professional people who actually have the, you know, the background to give the proper answer.
You know, I believe in the whole idea of trust but verify. And I mean, you can trust what anybody says about anything, but you should also look into it yourself. Mm-hmm. But that's a dangerous route, because if you think you know it all and you go find one piece of information, you go out of your way to find something that counters the point, well, then you get sucked into this world of becoming an expert on you know, fake news, for example. Mm-hmm. So it's a slippery slope, right? It's one thing to go and say, I'm going to become self-educated in math or physics or a form of science or engineering, right? That is a real thing you can do, and you can't bullshit your way through that. There's no faking the math. There's no faking the grind of learning these things. They have to be done, but those things develop other things like proper logic. Mm-hmm. But what we see is people applying that same concept of learning these math and sciences and things that you can't bullshit, and they apply it across the spectrum to everything, including politics, because people really do think that politics is just an opportunity to have an opinion. But politics is actually the biggest game in history that has ever been played, and it's the longest game in history that's ever been played. And that is a game that causes people to die when it's not done right, or can create like not utopian, but really good societies compared to the other side. So it's like people are just looking for an opportunity to have a valid opinion without putting in the hard work. And I mean, we see this all the time where people on Facebook get into massive arguments about what's right. And everyone's heart's in the right place. Like, for the most part, people want to better their society. People want to learn more and grow more. But the issue is that they fell into a giant black hole of disinformation, and they're so deep in it, there's no light around them for them to see the actual truth, right? So it's a climb for them to get out of what they put themselves into, which is a lot of work. And I would argue that is more work than if you just took the approach of trying to learn the sciences and the maths and then use the logic you learned from those hard work topics, and you apply that logic across the board to things like politics. Because at the end of the day, climate change, going back to that argument, it's statistical data. We can see what's going on. We can see how we're impacting it. We can see correlation. Yeah, correlation is not causation, but when you have thousands and thousands and thousands of data that's correlated, well, there's definitely something shared across those thousand data points. And it's like, that is what the whole climate change thing is. It's math. It comes down to an understanding of math. And we have climate deniers because we have a massive deficit of mathematical ability in the world. Like, we all learned that literacy is very important for becoming a better person, right? I mean, what was the number one goal over the past century? It was to create a completely literate world. And we're to the point where I believe it's like 96% or something like that of the world is literate. They can read on some level. And we it's great. It really is great. But we enter this new world of information where we can all speak and we can all read and we can all communicate half effectively. But we can't actually communicate logic, because language is how we are we like kind of put my mind into your mind and your mind into my mind, and we exchange ideas, right? But that doesn't go hand in hand with logic. And logic is strictly mathematic base. I mean, it's 1 + 1 = 2. It doesn't change unless you change the type of math.
So we can agree here that obviously looking into actual reliable resources and actual facts and not just word of mouth by people who do not necessarily have the background or the proof to show what they say. We can agree that academic research is obviously much more favorable and much more legitimate. Than going
online. Don't ever
online.
Go to media websites. Don't ever go to media websites to try and learn something. I mean, that's just kind of horseshit. What you have to do is you must learn to educate yourself in the proper way. And to learn is hard work, right? It's just about trying to find something you want to learn. And when you want to learn something, you have to find academic sources. And not just one, you have to find multiple. Because you can never find the reality unless you have multiple versions of the real reality, so you can kind of, if you will, cook up something that's realistic.
Well, I do agree. I do think that one of the biggest problems with just education in general is that it kind of just comes off as boring to a lot of people. I think huge issue. Yeah, and I think it's really about researching and educating yourself on something you want. You know, I think that's just another problem here. It's like, you know, I personally, I don't know about you, but I personally find if I want to educate myself on a certain topic or something, and I truly am curious, then I'm passionate about where I find this information and where I'm looking. But that being said, I think it's really easy to fall down a rabbit hole online. It's so easy to just type on YouTube a question or Google or, you know, word of mouth from a friend. You know, it's just so easy. I think it's super easy to get lost in information. And I think that's the biggest problem, because let's be real, there are pros to self-education, right? Like, you know, it doesn't cost a large sum of money.
I mean, it's almost all pro, right? The only downside is that if you don't know how to learn, right? Like, that is a real problem in our society, not just here, say, in Canada and North America and the West, but in the world. We have this mentality that you have to go somewhere to learn something, when the reality is you are constantly learning. The only thing that being alive is learning, whether you know it or not. And I mean, we've turned learning into a task when learning is a part of being alive. Mm-hmm. And we need to make learning more of a generalized activity that is kind of coached throughout your entire life. Like, the issue we have right now is that the people older than us don't necessarily have this idea about education being a fundamental aspect of reality. A lot of them see, like, education as a form of bettering yourself economically and stuff. But, I mean, if you're already well off, why do you need that education? Whereas, like, we kind of need that mentality of the best thing you could do in the world is change the world. And the only way you're ever going to change the world is to learn the world. And life is learning the world. You know, we're all going to die. And when you die, you stop learning what the world offers. So it's important to realize and feel the energy of learning, whether it's hard or not. That's progress. And our brains literally do grow as we learn. They physically change. They get better and they get stronger, just like a muscle. But the second we stop learning things, it goes into grade. I mean, you come out of high school for 3 years and you try to write a math test on the stuff that you used to get 80s, 90s on. It's like, it's a real struggle unless you practiced it. So, like, fundamental to society shifting in a positive way is to, A, realize that learning is life. They're interchangeable. It's the same thing. And second of all, it's also to learn to love life. Because if you can love life, and if you can identify life as also learning, you kind of just open up the whole world to yourself, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, you know, to be quite honest, there's been a lot said in this podcast episode, and I think there's also been a lot of interesting insight on the whole idea around self-education. But before we end this episode off, Josh, I would like to ask you, you know, for people who, let's say, are curious about self-education, and you being somebody who has self-educated often and have, you know, done a lot of studying around the whole idea of self-education, what would you recommend for people out there who perhaps do not have the income to go to school, do not have really the ability to learn really past their screens?
So I think that the only thing that's important, and just remember, like, I'm just a person. These are all just my opinions, but I try my best to have educated opinions where I'm not just, you know, speaking out of freestyle, if you will. But if I've learned anything in my life, it's that the most important thing is to realize that you're a human. A human is an animal, and animals do stupid things. Therefore, we are all stupid, and we're all full of ignorance, and that's a part of life. It's a fact of life. Being human is to be stupid. But the thing is, most people go their whole lives thinking that they're not stupid. They think that they're something more, they're greater, they're important, they're special. But the fact is, we're all equally important to the fabric of the universe. So the most important thing for you to do is to recognize that you are significant, but you are also equally insignificant. So when you feel finally that you're insignificant as everybody else and everybody's equally insignificant, you can start to see how it's easier to learn lessons from people you don't like. So everybody that's ever lived ever has lessons that they can teach you. Every person in your life every day has lessons that they can teach you. But you'll never learn those lessons if you got a chip on your shoulder and you think you know more than them or you think you're better than them. So the first way of stopping ignorance is to know that you're always going to have it, and to know that there's always room for improvement. And I mean, at the end of that, you know, you could go pick up a book at the library. You could go on the internet and download some PDF files of a textbook. And I mean, you could self-teach anything, but you're never going to learn. You will never truly learn unless the first thing you learn is that you don't know anything.
Okay. Okay. Well, you know what? I think that's a great place to end this podcast. Well, Josh, thank you for joining me in this conversation. And also,
thanks so much for having me on.
Yeah, of course. And also, just for people who are listening to this podcast and would like to, I guess, find you and follow you, where can people find you online?
Okay, so I'm kind of like, I'm like cobwebs. I'm all over the internet. I'm in places you don't expect to find me. So I've made like hundreds. No, not that kind of stuff. The main one you're gonna find me at is probably my SoundCloud page, which is just type in SoundCloud and then go to the search and type in Rune Station, R-O-O-N Station, S-T-A-T-I-O-N, and then you'll see a channel called G Josh, and click that, and that's me. It's like a picture of like an airport tarmac. But also, the other place you're going to find me is on the YouTube channel, Rune Station, which is the complimentary to that, which is just me and my friends kind of screwing around, if you will.
Okay, cool. Awesome. Well, there you have it, guys. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to this podcast. And again, thank you, Josh, for joining us here today. I hope for everybody out there listening that you enjoy this podcast, and be sure to rate it, subscribe, and be sure to listen to more. All right, guys. Thank you again, and we'll see you in the next one. See ya.